Got taters here. It's getting close to tater time. Do you know how I know it's getting close to tater time? Do you remember?
You start itching all over a little bit?
No. There's a certain thing that happens every year that tells me it's either tater time or getting real close.
And what might that be?
We got in trouble with it a little bit last year.
Yeah.
You remember?
No. I can't remember what I had for breakfast.
So this time of year is when the traveling con men
make the
rounds.
Yeah. So you've seen them out?
This morning. I'm talking about this morning.
The G word's what we got in trouble with.
Yeah, we can't say the G word. We have to call them traveling con men. Or I guess you call them worse things. You can call them some four-letter words.
What was the asphalt ones out?
This was asphalt guy. Now, last year, it was the same day. Two different guys was going to paint my barn roof. But I got my barn roof painted, so they couldn't really, they was wanting to think there's a hole there the trash man has created right beside my dirt driveway, and they was wanting to fix it. I told him I was good. But you know, that's when you better be getting your tater stuff ready, when them folks come around.
Yeah, today was a pretty day here, and I tell you, every time when we've had a pretty good winter, as we've had this year, and we have that first pretty day, you just start itching all over. You get that garden itch, and that's where I'm getting just a little bit. I can tell the first pretty weekend we have, myself, along with everybody else, is going to be out there just itching all over to get something done in the garden. I've already had people calling. We've had people come by with people placing orders like crazy. You can tell it's on their mind, and it's fixing to be here, and everybody's looking forward to it.
Yeah, in anticipation of some of this, it's going to warm up a little bit this week, thankfully. We had a video come out on Tuesday. Me and my buddy Wes from the Naked Hog, he gave me a hand. We was getting some of my cover crops turned in, getting some tarps on those, and just getting things ready. Always good to be prepared there. And like I said on that video, this is a great time. We got potato plant coming up, but we still about a couple months out planting anything else warm season-wise. This is a great time to be really focused on your weed seed bank. You can do some cultivation, you can do some tarping, you can do some things that can really go a long way to making you successful in the spring by focusing on getting that weed seed bank down.
It's also that time of year where you need to be taking that soil sample and checking your pH and making adjustments to it. Because it normally takes 2 to 3 months for all that, if you put some lime out, for it to activate and do its full meal deal. But it's a good time to be checking all that. You ain't got a whole lot else to do. Send that soil sample off, make sure your pH is in the right spot.
That's right. Now, I got these are the goodies I was harvesting when the G-Man came out there, offered me some asphalt work. Some of my Emerald Crown broccoli here, not the biggest I've ever grown, but they sure do make some pretty heads there.
And pretty.
We had a video on this about, you know, you got to be careful with broccoli. You can't get greedy with it. You let this go too long, and then you won't have nothing really working.
It'll flower out on you.
Yep. So I got some of that. And I showed these carrots last week, but as promised, I want to do a verifiable blind taste test here.
Blind.
To see which ones you like better. And I just happen to have something in my pocket right there.
Mm-mm.
It's one of my sweaty headbands from the gym. Go ahead.
Oh, it's for me?
Yeah. No, that was actually clean. I washed it.
Oh, I'd have fixed my heart if I'd known I was going to have to do all this.
You see anything?
I'm always glutton for punishment, ain't I?
You blinded?
I'm blinded.
Okay. So we got four different varieties here. And you want to score these? You just want to say which one you like the best? Or
it don't matter. Whatever. Let's give them a 1 to 5.
I should have brought a grocery store carrot, thrown it in the mix, see if you could pick out which one.
Oh, I'm sure I could
was
have.
Was homegrown. All right, so I've got these written on here so people can out there can see what they are, hopefully. So let's start with this one right here. And these are cleaned. There you go. Oh, I forgot you can't see.
Yeah, blinded. I am.
Go for it.
Am I supposed to eat it now?
Yeah.
Pretty tasty.
So we call that one number one. What's that?
Number one's going to get a 4.
Number one's going to get a 4? Okay. Don't eat too much of it. You still got 3 more you got to eat here.
Okay. Well, now, carrots is like horses to me. I've never seen the ugly one.
Yeah. We got this one right here. There you go. Good crunch on there. Sound like.
Yeah, now that's a three. That's a little less flavor than this one.
Think so?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, we're going to go with this one right here. Hopefully everybody's keeping up the score. Sometimes I forget. All right.
I'm going to have to double check that one.
Double check that one.
That's a 3.5.
Three and a half.
A solid 3.5.
3.5, okay. All right, last one here. Ain't full yet, are you?
I'm getting there.
Here you go. Last one, and I'll show everybody what the, everybody can see that there.
That has a different flavor. A little different. I'm gonna go back with three on that one. I'm gonna go back and check this one. Make sure that this is the one number one I fixed.
That was your favorite? Yeah, I guess you gonna leave room for a five if there's a perfect one out there.
There's no such thing as a perfect five.
Okay. You can't, that's unattainable.
You can't get there. Yeah, I'm gonna go with this one would be my favorite one.
Okay, so we got, you can take the mask off.
Mm-mm.
So your favorite, which you said you really liked last week, was this Epic carrot.
It is.
That's the best tasting one. You're pretty confident on
that. Was this the next to last one?
That was the last one. The one that you said was the last.
It did have a different flavor profile than that. Noticeably different than that.
Yeah, this was your second one, yellow. It went, this was your order here. Envy, yellow, Bolero, and purple.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you went envy highest. You went, I think a three on the yellow, 3.5 on this one, and I forget what you gave this one here.
3.5, but it was just different.
Bolero has always been my favorite, like we said last week. That one.
I believe the envy's got a little higher sugar content according to my taste buds.
That's a good carrot. That's a fine looking carrot and a good growing carrot. And I don't know, those might be out of stock, but I got some more on the way. What else we got going on? I got some transplants. Most of my peppers have come up. I planted a few heirloom tomatoes, waiting on those to come up. My cool crops, cabbage, stuff like that is up, looking pretty good. We've had a lot of people wanting us to bring back the account feature on the website. So, I am going to bring it back very subtly, though. The issue we had in the past, and I think this is just a product of having an older customer base who doesn't order online a whole lot, was that people would see that My Account button at the very top, and then they thought it was like an old hardware store. You couldn't just go in there and buy something. You had to have an account, which is obviously not the case. So we're going to bring back the feature, but we're going to put it way down at the bottom of the footer of the page. So those people with accounts, they'll know where to find it. They can access it. But those people who don't have one or don't want one, it's not going to confuse them or whatever. Within this account feature, I hope to, just to give you an idea, one thing that's going to be neat about it is you'll be able to see all the items that you have waitlisted. So the waitlist feature where something's out of stock, you know, you log into your account, you can see all the things you're waiting to come back in stock. And it'll tell you, okay, this is back in stock. You can get it now if you want to.
Or what's better than that is if you've ordered a particular thing and grew it last year and you got a little age on you like me and you forgot what you ordered, but you knew it was good and you want to grow it again, you can go back on there and see what you ordered last year. At some point.
Well, yeah, but it's not going to bring in old order data. So it's going to be like starting fresh.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like next year
Right. Yeah, so once we get it up, you can look at any orders that's been placed since you've started that account. We left the old data from the old site kind of
gone.
Yeah, it's not gone, but it's in.
It's hid somewhere.
It's nestled
under a rock and mold.
The other thing we're going to try to add is everybody's wanting this wish list feature. So we're going to have something in there where if you're logged into your account, you can add things to a wish list. And, you know, a lot of people like to go in there and browse. They're not ready to order all their seeds yet. They just want to kind of start compiling the list.
That's interesting.
We're going to try to add that feature. I'll let you know when we get all that done. Might be another month or so, but we are working on it. What else?
Let me talk about COVID just a minute.
Okay,
you know, we know COVID has spurred its ugly. COVID is stirring again. We're seeing some delays on some hard goods. We're out of stock on some things. And
bottom trays.
Man, it's tough getting some supplies in. It's tough right now. Things in slow motion. Just the economy feels like everything's just moving so slow. Freight's moving slow. Having problem, you know, vendors having problem getting their stuff together to send to us. And ain't a whole lot you can argue with them about. You know, everybody's in kind of a bad way. Mm-hmm. But just starting all over again. I mean, we're seeing things in the economy just like we did last March, everything. And we hadn't seen it up to now. Everything got a lot better, but now everything's slowing back down. We in pretty good shape on seeds as far as our inventory. Some of those are fixing to slow down as far as what we can get in. I mean, to give you an example, these potatoes right here, we're out of stock on some of these potatoes we're going to go on today. And to be honest with you, the potato guy didn't necessarily send me what I ordered. He just sent me what he wanted to. You can't argue a whole lot with that. I mean, he's just doing the best he can, I guess. But, I mean, that's kind of the situation we're in right now. We just take what we can get. I've had a couple of vendors that we normally send POs to, purchase orders to, and I just told them, I said, just send me what you can. And that's what the tater guy did. So we're having some issues keeping up with some of these taters in stock. Now, if you go to buy a potato and it's out of stock, we may, in a couple of weeks, have it back in stock. We don't know yet. To be honest with you, we're going to wait till we get them in and kind of adjust things there. I don't want to be selling a lot of taters that we ain't going to be able to get. So that's the reason we're out of stock on some of these, and we very well may get them back in stock. Yeah. But it's kind of a tight market right now.
So you can use that wait list feature if you want to.
Right.
Still got some time to plant.
Or the email notification. That's
right.
Yeah, right.
I got something very special coming at the very end of the show. Very special coupon.
Coupon?
Just for a pretty substantial coupon, just for our show viewers. Kind of like a flash sale almost. But you got to stay tuned in the show to see that. One more thing. So I'm just going to tease this here. We're not going to get into it a whole lot. But there was an article I saw someone post on Facebook earlier this week, maybe last week. It was a scientific study done by University of California, Riverside. Some scientists there at UC Riverside. And this was published in a journal called Trends in Ecology and Evolution. And this was an article that had explored the idea that modern day varieties, vegetable varieties that we grow and commercial guys grow, do not respond that well or at all to this idea of booming soil biology like a lot of the no-till people promote. That these modern day varieties are more dependent on synthetic fertilizers and not dependent on this natural soil biology. And I gotta read the article a little more. I'm gonna download it, it's like $30, but for the sake of the program, I'm gonna download, dig into a little more, let you know what we think. But I thought it was interesting just on the surface, because that kind of, we've kind of been saying that for a little while. That's why these hybrid tomatoes, you don't see them growing in the forest, even if you go drop some seeds out there.
Well, the first time that I noticed, and I'm going to use a corn, I used to grow the Hickory King about every year. And I noticed that Hickory King, which is an heirloom variety, was a lot more drought resistant than the newer hybrid varieties. So I did see a trend there. I hadn't done any testing on fertility and see how forgiving it is there. But we know some of these super sweets and triple sweets and all that are a little bit finicky. But I have noticed that the heirlooms can be, certain ones, corn more than any of them, can be more drought resistant.
Right. And that's not to say you shouldn't try to take care of your soil and have good soil biology, but it seems that more the modern day stuff is more, give them, they gonna need that extra N, P, and K, whereas your older varieties and stuff will benefit from that increased soil biology. The modern day stuff, not as much. I'll dig into it a little bit more and we can discuss
that. That would be an interesting conversation to have.
Yeah. Once I get red on it a little better, we might talk about it on the show. New varieties. Let's go talk about some new varieties real quick before we talk about taters. I'm excited about some of these corn varieties here. Some of these y'all may have heard of, some of you may not have heard of. I'm gonna start off with this guy right here. This is a new sweet corn variety we just added called Glacial. Now, I don't know if you've heard of this one before. This one comes highly recommended by the grower. This is the whitest white sweet corn there is, and also supposedly the best tasting white sweet corn out there. So I dare some of you guys who are hardcore Silver Queen enthusiasts to give some of this a try and put it up against it. This is a super sweet variety, but really bright white ears. You can see good little tip feel on there. Supposed to be the best tasting white corn variety out there. Now, since this is a super sweet, you got 75 days there. That means this stuff is going to take up and grow fast. What that means is you got to be pretty timely with your fertilizer applications and giving them plenty of water. You ain't got no 100 days to dilly-dally around. You got to feed them when they need it and kind of pump it to them. But 75 days, that's pretty quick.
Yeah, that is quick. Guys up north, that'd be a good variety for them to pick.
Then we got the old G90 here, which a lot of people have been asking for. It's a favorite. It's one of those SU or standard varieties like your Silver Queen is. It was the bicolor one. So the old sweet G90 here. Several places carry this, but we got it here with 95% germ. Really good.
You go on any gardening forums, you hear a lot of people talk about G90 corn.
People rave about it. Rave about it. Then this one here is one that I hear from a lot of market farmers and what I would call not large scale corn growers, but you know, you got your backyard serious corn fella, kind of like your Andy Webbs out there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those that are in our group are really, really fond of this Serendipity here. I've heard some really, really good things about it. They say it's one of the best. They said it's a triple sweet. So it has the super sweet kernels and some of the SE kernels. But I've heard awesome things about that.
And it's a yellow corn.
It's a bicolor.
Yep.
In fact, Andy Webb's going to grow some of that.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. The last corn here, and this is an interesting fact about here. This was one of the, or if not, there's some debate out there whether it was actually the first, but one of the, or if not the first ever SE variety that was developed. And it's still around today, just candy corn. We got a lot of people in our Row by Row group on Facebook that likes growing this one too. So,
how can you not like candy corn?
That just sounds good.
Yep.
And we were talking about carrots. And we got our overwintered carrots that are starting to come in now. But you can also, this is also the perfect time to plant another round. If you missed the overwintered, you know, carrots, this would be the time to get some going.
Yep, it would.
Or if you want another round or want to try some of these new varieties, I've got two of them right here. This one here is called Hercules, a big strong carrot.
Mm.
So Hercules is a Chantenay type, so it means the short, stubbier carrots that are for harder soils. And this one right here is supposed to be the perfect one for rocky, hard, dirt.
Clay type soils.
Where it's tough to grow carrots in. This Hercules is strong enough to get down there and make a decent sized carrot.
Mm.
And then we've got this one here, which is pretty highly regarded for its eating quality. This is a more imperator type. So this makes a long, slender carrot, and it's called Olympus.
Olympus and Hercules.
I might grow some of the Olympus and compare them to that Envy, see what we think there.
Now, you folks that are new to growing carrots, a couple of little quick tips there. Plant them thick, keep them wet.
Yeah, I got a few tutorials out there on the web. My buddy Jason at Cog Hill has, he did good watching them. Boy, he's got a fine looking stand of carrots.
Mm-mm.
All right, tater time. We've got, how many varieties of taters we got?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
10 varieties of taters, and like I said, some of these may not be in stock right now, but we just want to go through all these. Some of these, mean you might not even get to plant. We may run out before we save ourselves some.
Yeah.
But we want to go through all these 10 varieties, talk about tater planting, when to plant, how to plant, fertilizer programs, all that good stuff. Let's start off with the varieties. And I always like to cut them open and see what the inside looks like. We should have washed them so you can see the outside a little better. So with potatoes, you kind of got three categories that are, one way to categorize them is based on their maturity date. You've got early maturing potatoes, mid maturing potatoes, and late maturing potatoes. And there are some that are kind of in the early to mid range, some mid to late. And the maturity dates, as with anything we grow, is pretty relative. If it gets hot real quick in spring, it's going to speed that puppy up. So I kind of want to go through them here, talking about the early maturity ones, mid maturity, and late maturity. So the early maturity ones, on average, you're going to be looking at 85 days or so. And now, why is this maturity date important? Well, for me, I don't like to have to go out there and dig 10 rows of taters at a time, or how many of a rows I grow. So I like to grow some early ones, some mid ones, and some late ones. You get them early ones out of the ground first, wait another week or so, dig your mid ones, wait another week or so, dig your late ones. Makes a good little, they don't all come in and have to dig them all at the same time.
Right. I normally let my vines die back, and I've been doing it long enough I can tell when those vines die back to a certain level, it's time to get out there and get some dirt or slinging.
Yep. I'll let you be the tater opener there. So let's start off with the early maturity varieties, and these are going to be coming in around 85 days. So the first one, we got our Red Norland, and that's your just good old red tater right there.
Now,
people call new potatoes.
As for the red skin potatoes, this Red Norland is better suited for the South than any other variety.
Yep. It outperforms the Pontiacs in our testing. So you got your red tater right there.
It's not normally one of the larger potatoes out there. It's just a medium-sized potato.
Right. Then we got this old heirloom variety called the Irish Cobbler.
And I've never grown the old Irish Cobbler before, but I may give her a shot this year.
So that's a more white potato.
Well, cream colored, I guess you'd call it cream colored. It's not white.
That'd be
white.
A good frying tater right there.
Mm-hmm.
Real good frying tater. So that's the early maturity tater as well. Then we got our Viking potato.
Now this Viking potato makes a big old tater.
Big old tater.
Yep.
So it kind of looks like the Red Norland on the inside, but a much bigger tater.
Much bigger potato, yeah.
And I think that's more of a kind of improved variety of red tater, so to say. Then we got two blue or purple colored tater. We got the Adirondack Blue.
Man, look at there.
Mm. And then we got,
I just want to look at that. It's just amazing.
That's a pretty one. And then we got the Purple Majesty here, which is I believe is a was created by mixing the all blue with something else, and that one looks a little darker. I don't know. They're pretty
close.
Can't
tell much difference, huh?
Pretty close.
Maybe a little smaller potato than that one.
Purple Majesty is known for its...
you got to grow a few purple potatoes.
So those are all the early ones. Your Red Norland, your Irish Cobbler, Viking, Blue, and Purple Majesty. Now we get into our mid-maturity ones. And the most popular one, we sell more of these than any of them, is the Yukon Gold. A worm.
Not a worm, a holler heart.
A holler heart.
A holler heart in there.
They still plant that.
Oh yeah, they still plant. As we say, this right here's got the butter already built in. Nice, sweet flesh here. These are my favorite baking potatoes right here.
They are good.
I'm talking about baking them and squish them up, eat them with skin on there. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't ever peel any tater. I always eat the skin on. I don't believe in peeling anything really. Watermelon rinds.
No, I ain't no watermelon rinds. This is the most of these Yukon Golds are bigger than this one here.
Yeah.
It's a decent sized potato.
Yeah, pretty good sized potato. Now the real big one is one you got coming up next, this old Kennebec.
Mm-hmm.
That's your French fry. French fried potatoes.
Mm. French fry. Mm-hmm.
That's the one if you got you one of them little units where you like they use at the restaurants, you know?
Yep.
Pull down and make your French fried taters with some big ones there.
French fingerling. This is one of them boutique potatoes, I call it.
Now, flavor-wise, I grew some of them last year and some of this next one. Taste-wise, them right there is hard
to eat. Yeah, I like them too.
They are what we call gourmet taters.
Yep. Look at the inside. It has that nice red mottling inside there.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a good roasted potato.
Those are some of them that growing up poor, we didn't even know them.
No, you don't know.
You have to go to a pretty fancy restaurant to find some of them.
Yep.
But now we got them so you can grow them in your backyard.
Grow your own.
This is a real good one here. Look at the yellow on the inside.
Yeah, Australian, Chris. That's a nice roasted potato.
Austrian, I think.
Austrian, yeah, Australian. No, Australian or something other. It's a nice roasted potato also. Doesn't lend itself to frying real good because of the shape of the potato, but it's great to roast, smash, put some butter on.
Yeah, you can put them, especially the smaller ones, put them whole on a baking sheet. And so those are mid-maturities, a Yukon or Kennebec, French Fringling and an Austrian Crescent. And then the one late maturity we've got here is the old German Butterball. And this is the yellowish one.
Ooh, ain't it there? Look at there.
If that's a yellowish
one. Yellowish is a word, yeah.
That's the yellowish one. I really like that one. That one's going to come in later than all of them. That'd be the last one you dig right there. Those are fine taters.
So I always have to plant me a little bit of blue tater, and I think this year I'm going to plant me some German Butterballs and Yukon Golds and probably grow me some French Fingerlings.
Yeah, you like to have a good little variety for, you know, maybe four varieties or so.
I get carried away now or sometimes. I have planted just about that many varieties.
Well, it's hard when you're cutting up taters. You don't realize how much taters you done cut up until you sit there, you watching ball game, watching something, cutting up taters. Next thing you know, you got a big old satchel full of taters cut up. And then you get out there planting, and you plant one row, two rows, three rows, and you still got half bucket left. Shoot, let me go make me another fur, huh?
Yeah, and it's contagious when you start planting. You think you're going to plant you some more. Next thing you know, you got enough to feed the whole community.
Then you save a few, and you have folks like old man Harry coming around and snipe you cut-up taters.
Right. But they're fun to grow. I suggest everybody that's new to gardening, seriously consider growing you some potatoes this year. I think you'll enjoy it. It's one of those things that you plant early, it comes off early. It's not going to get in the way of your tomatoes and your peppers and things like that and give you some good groceries to eat while you're waiting on those tomatoes and peppers and corn to come in.
We'll do a video on this a little more in depth, but you don't have to cut up your taters when you plant them. They'll go a lot further.
I'd say you do.
You'd say?
Yeah. You go straight to jail if you don't cut your taters up. Anybody that's that wasteful, I don't want to deal with
them. If you plant a whole tater, you're going to get more taters, but you're going to get a bunch of little taters. If you plant the pieces and split up the eyes there, just one to two eyes per piece, you won't get as much overcrowding, and you'll make bigger taters that way. And you won't have nobody making fun of you. I'd hate somebody post a picture on the road by road group of planting whole taters. I'd have a hard time.
Yeah, don't do that.
We might have to suspend them.
Mm-mm.
Anyway,
cut your taters up, make them go further. You'll grow better potatoes and you'll feel better because you didn't waste no taters.
That's right. When are we going to plant taters? That's what everybody wants to know. When are we going to plant these taters? So, you'll see different things out there. I strongly disagree with the Almanac's recommendation on this. They say plant them after your last frost date. Well, I recommend planting them is about 2 weeks before your last frost date.
Yeah, and just like the variance of when you're going to get that last frost date, you got a little bit of variance there when you can plant
right.
these potatoes.
It's not come set on. In stone. You got to get now. Some people, I've heard some people north of us, St. Patrick's Day, they got to get them in. Some people around here are religious about planting them on Valentine's Day, and that is a great thing to do on Valentine's Day.
Absolutely,
women absolutely go crazy for planting taters on Valentine's.
Yeah, a lot of times you may get up and think she's going to say, boy, I wish you'd carried me out to a nice restaurant last night, but I sure am glad we're going to plant taters today.
Yeah. A sack of seed taters will just...
Forget about the roses, wine, forget about the wine, forget about the all. Yeah, buy some seed potatoes and make a scheduled date for that Valentine's Day to get there and plant them, and I guarantee you she'll love you the rest of your life. Home run. Yep.
Home run every day. So 2 weeks before your last frost date is when you want to plant them, but there's a window there. There's about a 2-week window. For us, that window is anywhere from mid-February to the end of February, even the first week of March, really.
It also has an effect how much rainfall you're having during this period. I mean, there've been situations where we've had a really wet middle of February and we had to wait to the end of February before we could get out there and moisture-wise and get them planted.
I got something for that. I'm going to tell you later.
But I've always planted mine the end of February and they've always done well. I don't get in no big hurry planting my potatoes.
Yeah. I've known some folks to get in a hurry and ends up biting them in the nowhere.
They don't listen very well.
2 weeks before your last frost date. Let's go through here the general last frost dates, average last frost dates for the zone so people can get an idea when they want to plant. You got zone 10 way down there in Florida or maybe even South Texas. Well, they don't get any freezes. So they probably already planted, I would imagine. You got zone 9, they're going to get their last frost in mid to late February. So they're starting to plant about right now, but we'll be planting in the next couple weeks in zone 9.
Yeah.
You got zone 8 where we are, we're going to get our last frost in early to mid-March. So we want to plant, you know, mid to late February is going to be good for us. You zone 7, they're going to get their last frost in mid to late March. So they're going to be looking at early March for planting. Early March.
Oh, yeah, early March, yeah.
Now, zone 6, they're going to get their last frost early to mid April, usually, which is going to put them planting at the end of March.
Right.
Zone 5, they're going to get their last frost in mid to late April, which is going to put them planting at the beginning of April. And then zone 4, where they probably got snow on the ground right now, they're getting their last frost in early to mid-May, so they're going to be planting in late April.
Or first of May.
Right. So hopefully that gives you kind of an idea on all the zones there. Let's talk about fertilization on taters. Taters are probably one of the easiest fertilizer programs to wrap your head around, in my opinion. It's pretty, pretty simple. So I researched several sources here and came up with the best kind of bullet down, simple, easy program for home gardeners. Let's not make this super complicated. You'll find some stuff that says just give them some phosphorus or this and that, but it's hard to find just one source of the three major nutrients there. So we're going to break it down for you. We always give our potatoes a balanced fertilizer for the most part. It doesn't have to be exact the same number, but something pretty close.
Yeah.
20-20-20, a 10-10-10, you'll see 13-13-13s. We got our, I didn't bring one. Our complete organic fertilizer, which I think is 5-4-3. So what you need for potatoes is 5 pounds of balanced nutrients per 1,000 square feet. Now, that's not how much fertilizer.
You're talking about 5 pounds of complete fertilizer.
Yeah, so 5 pounds of nitrogen, 5 pounds of phosphorus, 5 pounds of potassium per 1,000 square feet. Now, let's assume, like my plots are, that you don't do a 3-foot row spacing, and I've got 30-foot rows. I can fit 10 rows in 1,000 square feet, so forth. If I break that down per row, I'm looking at 0.5 pound of actual nitrogen per 30-foot row. 30-foot row is pretty easy for most people to kind of wrap the head around. You can take the measurements and kind of figure out what you need. So what does that actually mean for how much fertilizer you need? Like I said, I didn't bring a bag of our complete organic fertilizer. I'm probably going to use a little bit of that on mine. For a 30-foot row, for the whole tater growing process, you'll need a 10-pound bag of that complete organic fertilizer. That's going to give you all your nutrient needs. Now, if you go over something like this 20-20-20 here, doing the water-soluble way, you'll need 2.5 pounds of this per 30-foot row. And that's for the whole deal now.
You want to spoon feed that out there.
Yeah. You're going to split this up. With taters, you want to put about half of that 2.5 pounds of this or 10 pounds of the organic stuff, half of it down at planting. And then what I saw the recommendation, they called it sprinkler time. So whenever those plants get up and they start having some water needs, or another good time to kind of measure by is when they need to be healed that first time. So before planting and at the first healing is a good time to put your fertilizer out.
Now, I normally don't use drip tape on taters.
No, I don't either. Injecting
them is really not an option for me.
But it can be done.
So what I do is I put me some in my 1 gallon sprayer if I need to juice them up a little bit and run down through there and shoot it out right there in the system.
Yeah.
I try not to get down on the leaves, but if you do, it's okay. But I shoot it right there at the root system, and I'll do that pretty regular.
So for every 30 feet of row, 2.5 pounds of this split into two applications, or 10 pounds of our complete organic fertilizer split into two applications. Don't get much simpler than that.
Yep.
All right. Some tips and tricks here. Healing taters. You got to heal your taters. How do we heal our taters?
We heal our taters because we like healing potatoes.
Some lady on, I think it was an old Facebook or YouTube video this week, asked why we heal our taters. And I said, man, I could go on and on about this.
Yep.
You know, weed suppression, you encourage better root development. And one of the main things is you keep the sun from getting to these puppies. They'll turn green if they get exposed to the sun. You want to keep them nice and covered up. Some people will say that these fast-growing taters, these early maturity ones, don't really require healing and don't benefit from it. But if you get a hard rain, it's going to expose some of these to the sun.
Yeah, you got a bone in it. I tell you something else that you can do. If you plant them, and this happens just about every year, you plant them and they come up and they're nice and pretty, about yay big, and the weatherman says you got a hard freeze coming this way. We always panic. And I've done this several times. You can take your high-art wheel hoe, go out there and heal them and cover them up with dirt. And that'll keep that frost from settling on them, and they'll be just fine, and they'll come right back out.
As it warms up, they'll crawl right through there.
It's hard to put too much of healing on a potato.
Yeah. So you can cover them. If you plant too early and they come up, and then all of a sudden, whoop, we're getting a late frost, just put some dirt on top of them.
Yep. Some people put some mulch on top of them. That works too, but the dirt's easier for me to just go out there and take my wheel hoe and heal them up and be done with it.
Now, what do you do when at this time of year, it ain't as warm, your soil don't dry as fast, and it's just too wet to plant taters, but you know it's time to plant taters, and you know if you plant taters when it's too wet, these rascals is gonna rot in the dirt. So what do you do? Well, my buddy Tom Matthews enlightened me to this last year, and this works like a charm. Use your tarp. I got two tarps out right now on some of my plots. Excuse me, helping to break down some cover crops, but also serving the purpose of I ain't got to worry about if they're too wet to plant or not.
So you just peel it back and you're ready to plant.
Yeah, get it ready. You might have to peel it back, put a little water on it here and there just to keep it from getting hydrophobic.
What does that mean?
Yes, means and it just your ions get messed up in there and it won't absorb any water.
But anyway, I don't want to be hydrophobic.
Put your tarp on there, and that just keep it right. Keep all that rain from getting on there, and you'll be ready to go.
Come Saturday when it's pretty, you want to go out there and get her done, just pull your tarp back and you're ready.
You're ready.
Yep.
You're ready. And if you're doing it on Valentine's Day, you have your old lady out there helping you.
Your wife. Or your sweetheart.
Sweet thing.
Yeah. Yep.
The last thing is, and this has to do with when you're done with taters, once you dig them. This is the case with all nightshades, but especially with taters. Don't be leaving your tater plants in your plot. Don't be tilling them into the soil. Get them out of there.
Put them in that compost bin we talked about.
Save you some headache down the road. All right, got any more questions about taters? Put those in the comments below and we'll try to answer them for you. We got some good questions here from last week's show.
Yep. First one is from Hondo Smith, and they said, love the show as always. How do you fertilize your carrots?
So this is interesting. You'll see some different things out there on this. Because it's a root crop, initially a lot of people think, okay, well, I shouldn't give them as much nitrogen. I should really focus on the phosphorus and potassium to get the nice big roots. But I'd say not so fast. So I don't really try to go heavy on the P and K. I just make sure I give them as much as I do the nitrogen. So I feed them pretty much the same thing I feed the majority of stuff in the garden, and that's this 20-20-20 and the Micro Boost, and we inject it on them double rows. Some people say, oh, you don't want to give them too much nitrogen because you're going to make all top. I like a nice, strong carrot top because what really bothers me is when I go out there and pull some carrots and it
breaks off,
and I got to go get the digging fork and go scratching around. It's a lot easier if I can just pull them out of the ground. So I want some nice, big, strong carrot tops in addition to the roots. So I believe in giving them something balanced, and then that little boost always helps.
From the carrot man himself.
From the carrot man himself. Number two is from Adam Weber. Says, great video. He didn't know what PMR meant for pumpkins until we talked about last week. Are we still working on a microgreen line?
PMR is powdery mildew resistance. And we see certain crops out there that are susceptible to powdery mildew. And the breeders over a period of time have bred things to counteract that. Squash, cucumbers, pumpkins are the three main ones come to mind.
Yeah.
And they've developed and bred to have these powdery mildew resistant ones, and they work really good. Planting early in the spring is not quite as important as later in your year. Your powdery mildew seems to be worse. So I always recommend if you're planting a late crop or a fall crop, you definitely want to make sure to keep an eye on that powdery mildew. Plant those resistant varieties and keep them sprayed because it is going to pop up and bite you. Microgreens, yes, we're working on some microgreens. I've been working on them for a while. We got some great things coming there. Timing's a little off. We still got some we got some issues to work out, but within the next few months, you're gonna be seeing an incredible product line being launched.
Yeah, once our new building gets here, we'll have some room for some microgreens.
All right, the next question comes from the Loose Monkey Backyard Garden.
Heck of a name for it.
It is, yeah. Loose Monkey. Question, do you adjust or change your watering schedule during cool weather versus warm weather?
Well, sure we do. Certainly do. This cooler than normal winter we've been having, I haven't really had to water a lot. We've gotten a lot of rain, and it by the time it dries up, it's been raining again. The only times I've been watering the last few weeks is when I want to sneak in a little fertilization in there. Besides that, really hadn't ran the drip tape a whole lot. The onions required a little more, but during the warm weather, when we don't get any rain and it's warm around here, I'm watering almost everything every other day. During the cool season, you're looking at maybe once or twice a week.
Right.
I definitely dial it back. I do like to give them water. Even if it doesn't look, you know, super, super dry, I still like to feed them. They seem to like that.
Yep.
Number four is from K.E. You get any ideas on that one?
No, I'm gonna let you go with that. That's K-E-A. Beyond my pay grade right there.
Maybe it's K.A. I plan on planting corn for the first time this year. She's got some 20-20-20 and some Chilean nitrate. Is there a reason to use one over the other?
Yes, they are. Corn loves nitrogen, so always use a balanced fertilizer and alternate with the nitrogen source. Now, here's my take on that. Corn loves organic nitrogen, Chilean nitrate, and it also loves ammonium sulfate. Calcium nitrate is a straight nitrogen source, but I save that one for my nightshades. So I love to alternate my 20-20-20 with either Chilean nitrate or ammonium sulfate. Either one of those. And it gives that corn the nitrogen. It needs a lot of nitrogen. Cabbage, some of your greens do as well, but especially corn. Corn loves that nitrogen. You got to hit it to make it pop, make it grow off, and they got nice, pretty stalk to support that big old ear of corn that you're going to grow.
And a side note on that, if you give it too much of the balanced stuff, it's not going to need that as much phosphorus and potassium. You may end up kind of overloading your soil.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Real quick thing, I just remembered. This glacial sweet corn I mentioned earlier. I had a lady, I don't remember her name. I've had several people say this. They live in a neighborhood or wherever where they don't really let them have tall plants for some reason. And there's several people ask me, I want a shorter corn. Because evidently the neighbors, everybody fusses if you get out and grow big old corn stalks. Anyway, this glacial sweet corn is only supposed to get about 6 foot tall, whereas most of the others get on up there 7 8 foot. So just thought I'd throw that out there.
All right, so number five is for both of us, and Gator Pixel Doctor Repair. He says, what advice would you say to yourself 15 years ago about gardening?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, I want to hear what you'd say about 15 years ago about gardening.
Well, I was in school 15 years ago. So
well, what would you say about gardening 15 years ago?
Kind of modify the question a little bit. I would say, what would you say when you were, what would you tell somebody that was a beginner gardener? I'm going to modify the question. So what I would say is take chances with your planting times. Take risks. Try to plant stuff sooner or later than you might think you can. And that's really how you learn more about the plants and how they respond to hotter than normal or cooler than normal things. So take chances with your planting times. Experiment with new varieties. You don't know how many times I see, especially as people around, we get a lot of it around here, older folks who, man, they've just grown Silver Queen or whatever for 30 years. That's all they grow, all they ever grow. And they're just missing out, in my opinion, on a lot of good varieties, things to try out there. So take, experiment with new varieties, new crops you've never grown. We're gonna be adding some parsnips soon. Can't wait to try those. And also experiment with new techniques. Try different things. If you never tried drip irrigation, give that a try. Lots of gardening techniques out there. There's not one that works for everybody, but try the techniques, and that way you know at least this is why this one works for me. This is why this technique doesn't work for me. You don't ever know until you try.
Yep, good advice. What I would say is start small. It's a common occurrence. People go out there and get all juiced up and they plant way more than what they can tend to. And especially if you're a beginner gardener, there's going to be some learning curve there. So start small, you know, get some things under your belt, understand how some things grow, understand what you like to grow, what you're going to eat. There's no need to grow nothing that you don't like. But start small, tend to those plants, and then next year gradually increase it. And don't go out there and overdo it, because what's going to happen is you're going to get discouraged. You're going to get you're going to lose the battle with some of the pests and the weeds, and it's going to get really upsetting to you, and you're going to want to give up. Start small, learn how to control all that and how to be successful, then gradually make your garden bigger to the size you need it to be to feed your family.
Yeah, good advice there. Last thing, as promised, I was going to give a little coupon here. So we got a little extra elephant garlic left in the back there. And although we plant this stuff in the fall, I have planted it as late as this time of year, and you'll still make a head. Maybe not quite as big as you'll make in the fall, but you'll still make good elephant garlic, good to eat. And it's also, you know, if you didn't get any in the fall, you can still grow you out some nice seed stock for next year. So, big fire sale on elephant garlic here, 35% off.
35%?
35%.
Say what you?
Off elephant garlic, whether you get 1 pound, 5 pounds, or 10 pounds, 35% off. So you just add it to the cart on the website. And when you get to the checkout page, there's a box and you enter a coupon code. The coupon code is Big Garlic. All one word, all lowercase, BIGGARLIC. Now, since this is been in our warehouse for a month or so, still very viable as far as the seed, but this may not feel like 5 pounds. But we put the approximate clove count on the website. You get about 8 cloves per pound.
Right.
So the clove count's still going to be good. They do lose a little bit of weight to moisture, so you may order 5 pounds and feel this and say, that don't quite feel like 5 pounds. But I promise you, you're getting your money's worth on the cloves.
Yep. Especially with that 35% discount.
35%, really good deal.
Big garlic.
And this is just for our wonderful...
And how long is this coupon going to be good
just
for?
Just for our wonderful Row by Row viewers. And this is going to expire at midnight on Friday night. So 12 a.m. Eastern Friday, it's over with.
Boom.
So you got to act fast. Want to reward those people who always tune in and watch the show when it airs, or, you know, watch it at work the day after. Big deal on elephant garlic, so take advantage of that while it lasts before we run. I'm sure we'll probably run out after this deal. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Hope everybody enjoyed the show. If you did, give us a big thumbs up. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. ring the bell so you get notified every time we come out with a new video.
Take care.
See you guys next week.